Rutherford, Buck and Dickerson, Steve Buckley, and Greg Dickerson on Sports Radio WEEI.
Can we at least admit this part? If we can't admit anything, can we at least admit this? If this was a lesser player on the team, we wouldn't be having this conversation because the Chiefs would have cut him.
I think if the team sucked and it was a good player, we still wouldn't be making as big of a deal out of this. The fact is, this is one of the best players, a guy that led the league in rushing last season on one of the best teams. I would say the best chance in my lifetime for this team to actually get to and win a Super Bowl. It still surprises me that as many people on the text line are turning the blind eye. How many different excuses have we seen? It's a black versus white thing. Well, maybe she touched him first. Maybe she called him the N-word. There was alcohol involved. What does any of that matter when the bottom line is you just don't put your hands on a woman, period?
Yeah, and this is just what upsets me is, like, I feel like when it's people that we like, we create all the rules in the world to justify what they're doing instead of just keeping it a buck.
That was on Friday before the Chiefs officially released Kareem Hunt, and that's from 610 Sports Radio in Kansas City. Again, coming up in about 45 minutes, ESPN is going to run an interview with Lisa Salters, and Kareem Hunt will play that for you right after it happens. This story,
in the meantime,
just came out about 20 minutes ago. Let me read part of it from ESPN. It's from Schefter and Chris Mortensen. In its investigation into the February incident that cost Kareem Hunt his job, the NFL did not interview the running back or the woman he shoved and kicked. This, according to league sources telling Schefter and Mortensen. The NFL never requested an interview. I'll say that again. The NFL never requested an interview with Hunt after the incident that occurred outside of his Cleveland residence. The NFL did reach out to the woman and her friend on multiple occasions, but they did not respond. The league said it spoke to as many witnesses who were there as possible, and that they said Hunt was not involved in the incident, which the video that TMZ released on Friday clearly contradicts. One last thing. Chiefs running back Kareem Hunt is seen shoving and kicking a woman in a video, February video incident released by TMZ on Friday. The NFL believes it did everything possible from a legal standpoint. Again, the NFL believes it did everything possible from a legal standpoint. The league could not subpoena the hotel or police for video of the incident. The league did, though, have the police report, and Hunt spoke to the Chiefs about the incident. Yet after reviewing the police report and speaking to the Chiefs following the discussions with Hunt, no action was taken leading up to the video that was released on Friday. When I repeat the phrase, the NFL did everything from a legal standpoint, how about doing something that is not from a legal standpoint? How about, you know, you've got enough connections.
Guy in a trench coat.
Yes. No, I'm serious. Dollar bills. How about that? How about some money? What do you think? TMZ just kind of stumbled upon it?
Well,
if you're the National Football League and you've been down this road before and you know that there's a videotape, and obviously they knew there was a videotape, why would you not do everything legally, and it's not even illegally, but why wouldn't you do everything possible to get that tape?
Well, funny you should say that, because I read this story during the break, as you did. See, I happen to think, now, this is the newspaper guy in me, that they've taken two different stories and combined them, because, you know, the information comes in all fast and you throw it out there. This is actually two different stories. Everything you read is one distinct story, but if you get to the end of this, this is a separate story, what we call a sidebar. The NFL's inability to acquire the video brings back memories of former FBI director. Look at that name, Robert Mueller.
Why does that name sound so familiar? I'll figure it out.
His independent report about the league's investigation of Ray Rice punching of his then-fiancée after TMZ released video of that assault while Mueller exonerated the NFL. This is key here. Well, Mueller exonerated the National Football League at some levels. He wrote in his report that the league should have done more. This is a quote from the report. We concluded there was substantial information about the incident, even without the in-elevator video, indicating the need for a more thorough investigation. The NFL should have done more with the information it had and should have taken additional steps to obtain all information, all available information about the February 15th incident. And then ESPN has a little dig at the end here. 4 years later, other than add additional personnel to oversee such results, it does not appear the NFL has made many changes to address these findings. So in other words, once burned, twice careful is something everyone's grandmother would say, is that they went through this with the Ray Rice thing, and that moving forward, had they adhered to the findings here that Mueller's investigation unearthed vis-a-vis Ray Rice, somebody in a room said, okay, well, next time this happens, we got to...
What does it tell you about the NFL? I don't want to say that the NFL doesn't care, but the NFL doesn't care. The NFL wants to try and sweep these things under the rug. We don't want to make a big deal out of it. We don't want to go... You know why we don't want to see the video, Buck? We don't want to see the video because there might be something damning about one of our players, and that can really make us look bad. We don't want that to be seen.
Okay, so...
We want to avoid this at all costs.
Without even a hint of exonerating the NFL here, because that's not what I'm going to do.
Yep.
So I'm going to pose it as a question. Is it possible that the NFL gets hundreds of these incidents every year that we never even know about?
I don't know about 100, but
okay,
I'm sure they get a number of them. I'm sure they get a number of them.
So you're a National Football League player. You make lots of money, star power, you're good looking, and people want to be around you. And you go on. Now, I remember years ago, remember Billy Martin, all the fights he used to get into, and so he took us out one night, and I was covering the team, and the poor guy is just minding his own business, and there was a guy, it was in Orlando during spring training, Rosie O'Grady's, I remember the name of the bar, and there was a guy clearly in his cups is provoking Billy Martin, and you can see Billy getting worked up, and Billy famously, when he called you pal, the next thing was a punch. All right, pal, and that was the running. When he called you pal, then he's going to go off. And some people stepped in, and nothing. It wasn't even a shove. It was, oh, come on, Bill, let's get over here. And my point being that if you are a famous athlete or person in sports, you run the risk of these happening every night.
Yeah, so, I'm sure they have them all the time.
It's clear to me the NFL botched this.
But let me ask you this, Buck.
But it's an important point to finish. And I'm just wondering if they get so many of these reports, because if you are a famous athlete and you step out, like we saw a picture of Brady yep. went to see Hamilton a few weeks ago, yep. and there was a picture in one of the papers, the Herald or the Globe, of Brady sitting at the, I don't know if it's at the Opera House or the Wang or whatever, the City Theater, but there he is sitting there, and I'm wondering if at some point, hey Brady, you dropped that pet, you know, and then. Or he
retire,
makes
Brady. You're too old, pal.
And so I don't know anything happened, but my point is that when you are in the public eye and you go out, you run the risk of these things. And I'm wondering if the NFL's got a big stack of these things and they just botched this one. And I wonder how much. And again, not exonerating the NFL, because if there's a woman involved, if there's an assault involved, all hands on deck,
you just,
pal.
You just said it. It probably happens dozens, if not as you say, hundreds of times where. Team X is on the road and player X is out somewhere and somebody, you suck. Westbrook, you suck. You can't do nothing, Westbrook. You're the worst. Hey, you want to fight? That kind of thing. But it doesn't involve a woman. It doesn't involve the police. It doesn't involve a police report. When you get something to this level that involves a police report and does involve a woman, then if you're the National Football League, it's not one of those things that you can just say, yeah, these things happen all the time. We don't really need to do our due diligence on this one. This is something that you have to do everything in your power to check and recheck and find out exactly what happened. Anytime it involves a woman, anytime it involves a police report, if you're the National Football League, you have to do your due diligence, especially with the history that the National Football League has of, dropping the ball, so to speak.
Yes. This is ongoing.
It just never stops with the National Football League. And I don't know, as ticked off as I am at players, and as much as I would like to see the NFL really put the hammer down to guys like Kareem Hunt or anybody who does something like this and really put teeth into their laws, and when I say put teeth into their laws, I mean one strike and you're gone, or a 2-year suspension. What is it in Major League Baseball? is it 2 years when you get hit for a drug suspension? What when you get hit for
80
PEDs,
games, 90 games?
What's how about the second one?
I don't know.
I want to say there's one where you can reapply for reinstate, where you can apply for reinstatement. You know, in
well,
2 years
they changed
or a year
the rules,
or whatever.
Manny got caught 2 or 3 times.
Okay, but whatever it is, if you're the National Football League, put some teeth into it. Hey, you do this, something like this happens, you're gone for 20 games. And then, even after that, you aren't just going to be welcomed back without any questions. You're gonna have to apply for reinstatement, and we're going to have to make sure that you've been clean and we can allow you back into this league.
I heard you and Mark talking yesterday when I was driving back, and at some point one of you mentioned there's prevention, and then there's the prevention via rules and ramifications, and this is what's going to happen. But there's also prevention where you really need to sit young athletes down. And this is not – was it Chris Carter that did the have a fall guy?
Have a fall guy, yes.
And no,
that's not what you're talking about. That's not what we're talking about. No.
Don't do it in the first place.
Right.
And I am certain that all these athletes, they sit them down and say
– Oh, they do. Oh, Buck, they have – whether it's in the NBA, the NFL, they have countless hours of sit-down meetings and seminars with these players, with the draft picks, with veteran players or retired players.
I bet it goes beyond that. I bet that away from the teams, you look at Scott Boras. Now, Boras has a staff of dozens and dozens of people. And for those who don't know this, this agent thing has gone beyond negotiating contracts. It's also they play a role in estate planning and divvying out your money and where it goes, how it's invested, your workout regimen, where you're going. Hey, you're going to buy a house? We're going to help you buy a house. And I'm going to guess that Scott Boras has people who work with his athletes.
As I'm sure. I'm sure all agents do. Yep.
And some ABCs on how to conduct your affairs and what to do, what not to do. If you think there's anything approaching an incident, walk away. Here's another one that gets greater attention now is if you're going out for the night, hire a car.
Mm-hmm.
And you've got money. Don't just do the Uber thing. Have a town car waiting for you. If I made the money that these guys make, and anytime I step out, I would have a town car waiting for me outside.
Let me ask you this, Buck.
Just because it's cool.
Well, yeah, I don't drive. Hey, look, this is my car. Guy's holding the door open for me.
Can you imagine being able to do that on a regular basis? Why would anyone want to drive?
What do you mean, imagine?
Oh, I'm sorry.
Well, oh no,
when you were the Celtics
sideline
reporter,
I had my own driver. Yeah, a little different now. I got to drive my own self. What is one of the greatest deterrents in this world? Fear. If you put the fear of God into these players, and by fear of God, I mean, again, teeth in the laws for the National Football League, 20-game suspension, 2 years suspension, $1 million fine. If you do that sort of thing, as opposed to the NFL sort of willy-nilly, well, it's a 6-game, but then you can appeal it and go down to 4 games, and maybe we'll investigate, maybe we'll try and find the videotape, maybe we won't try and find. If you put some serious teeth into these laws, don't you think a lot of these guys, maybe Kareem Hunt thinks twice in this situation? Yeah, this despicable woman just called me the N-word and spit on me, but I'm going to walk away. I'm not going to escalate this because, you know what, things can only bad things can happen if I try and escalate this situation.
Yes. And I mean, that's the whole code of ethics in our country, isn't it? I mean, that's why we stop at red lights, and it's why, I mean, I'm dumbing it down. It's why we don't do certain things, because you know if you run that red light, there's a chance that there's a statey behind the bush, and you're going to get pulled over, and you guys are going to have a nice chat. It's going to involve money and fines and perhaps a court appearance and maybe even, hey, open your trunk.
No. Please, sir. No, I don't want to open the trunk. I don't have the key. It's locked. It won't open. Let's go to Adam in New Hampshire. Adam, good morning. Welcome to WEEI. How are you, Adam?
Hey, good morning. Thanks for having me on.
Hi, Adam.
You know, before you guys compared the Mixon tape with the Hunt tape and said Mixon, you know, was far worse, you know, for what he did, I think you guys need to look at that tape again because he walked into the restaurant. He went up to the woman. He was talking to her and another guy. He went to walk away. She said something. Then she pushed him, and then she slapped him, and then he punched her.
Right. He punched her.
Never do.
He punched her.
So you're saying, so you're putting an equivalency of a kick being less than a punch.
I think, God knows, I hate comparing things like this because domestic violence is domestic violence, but the punch in the face of the woman and what happened to her and the injuries that she suffered were far greater than the kick that Kareem Hunt made to the woman back in February. I mean, did you see the woman? Did you see the woman's face afterwards in the Mixon incident?
No, I'm not saying it's bad in either count. I'm not saying it's bad, but I'm saying, like, you know, to say one is over the worst just because of a kick to a punch to the injuries. I don't think there was any more. He didn't mean to hurt her any more than Kareem Hunt meant to hurt the woman.
We are falling into that trap of ranking these crimes.
Right. I mean, he didn't mean to hurt her. Then don't punch her. Don't punch a woman.
She also shouldn't have slapped him or said whatever she said.
You're right. She shouldn't slap him. Right. But
responsibility.
Would you punch a woman in the face if she slapped
you? Absolutely not.
Okay.
But I'm saying you guys compared both of them.
Yes.
And then to bring Vic into it, you know, compare him as well. You know, that, I mean, you know, he certainly wasn't railroaded because he had an enterprise going on. He actually went and everything was premeditated, everything that he had done.
When I say Michael Vick was railroaded, I think that Michael Vick was punished more than he should have gotten punished for. I think that a guy like Joe Mixon got off a lot easier than Michael Vick because Joe Mixon punched a human being, punched a woman. Okay, and you're hearing this from a guy who was a dog lover, who probably loves dogs more than human beings.
Right.
But Joe Mixon punched a woman and basically got away with it.
No, get away with it. He did. He was brought up on charges. He did have a plea agreement, and then you know, he was suspended for a year. So, and he hasn't had any you know, sniff of anything since then. So, you know, he did do what he had. You know, he was processed.
He got to go back and play college football.
I wasn't a pro yet, you know.
No, I know, but he still got to go back and play college football again. He got suspended for that year.
I believe somebody also said, you know, you do your time or you did whatever you had to do.
That's Buck.
You're not be able to get a job after that. You know, you should still be able to do what you have to do after that.
Playing Division I college football should not be a right. It's a privilege. And if you punch a woman the way that Joe Mixon punched that woman, you lose the right to play college football, according to me, in a Division I setting. Adam, thank you for the phone call. We appreciate
you.
617-779-7937. 617-779-7937. One line open for you guys. We'll roll through your phone calls. Steve Buckley, Greg Dickerson taking you up until noontime. Then it's NFL Sunday, Sports Radio WEEI.
Now back to Buck and Dickerson on Sports Radio WEEI.
Get back to your phone calls at 617-779-7937. We will play for you some of the Kareem Hunt interview that is coming up on Sunday NFL Countdown on ESPN at 11 o'clock. Lisa Salters is doing that interview, so we'll play some of that for you in about 25 minutes or so right after it happens. Let's go to Tim, who is in Tewksbury. Tim, welcome to WEEI with Steve and Greg. How are you, Tim?
I'm good. How are you guys?
Doing well, thank you.
So, I just a couple points. First, I think, and I heard you guys touch on it a little bit earlier, I think Roger Goodell should lose his job. And I know before you jump into the whole, he makes a lot of money for the league. You know, you said it yourself earlier on the show, the league's content sells itself. The league makes most of its money on TV deals. Very few leaders are worth their salt, meaning like, their money that they make. Roger Goodell makes almost $40 million a year. And you're not telling me there's someone that can't come in and do the same thing he does for the league. And he's mismanaged these situations. And you make these excuses like, oh, there's a lot of these incidents happening around the league. Well, if there was better management, better resources allocated, and more of a consistent standard set, then maybe players wouldn't be doing this as much.
So I actually agree with you.
I agree with you 100%.
Particularly on the Roger Goodell stuff, in that exactly how clever and talented is he? What magical power does he have that he brings to the table that somebody else in the same position for half the money couldn't perform?
You can't find a CEO of a Fortune 500 company that could do the same thing. I think he absolutely could.
Well, we're not talking about Steve Jobs here. I mean, yeah. That's what I'm saying. So,
no, exactly. And the other thing is...
well, and Tim, by the way he's handled a lot of things outside of television deals shows you he's not exactly the brightest bulb and the greatest leader.
But you know what? Before you continue, Tim, I often wonder if there isn't some orchestration. You're going to laugh when I say this. Yeah. The whole WWE aspect to pro football, heroes and villains and bad guys and capes and all that. And I wonder if the marketing people in the NFL, and again, laughable, aren't sitting back and saying, so Goodell's the bad guy. He's Vince McMahon. Okay, we can deal with that.
No, but this is real life, and as a WWE fan, you know that's part.
Well,
of the,
WWE is real life too. It's just fake wrestling.
But it's also fake. Vince McMahon is you know the bad guy.
I knew when I said it that it was silly. Except that, why is he still at his job? I mean, And again, I'll repeat what I said a minute ago. What magical powers does this guy have? What did he do vis-a-vis television ratings and contracts and deals that somebody, that Gary Bettman couldn't do?
It's one of the great unanswered questions that I can't figure out.
Gary Bettman can't get that kind of deal because he's selling hockey, and hockey doesn't command that kind of attention. As much as I love hockey.
Hey, Tim, thanks for the phone call. We appreciate it.
Thank you, guys.
You got it. 617-779-7937. You know, you look at Roger Goodell. If you're any owner in the National Football League, let's take Ziggy Wilf, who I think owns the Minnesota Vikings.
Wow, that's impressive.
Thank you very much.
I'm serious. I don't know. Who owns the Vikings?
You don't?
No.
Who owns the Minnesota Twins?
I don't know. I know it's not Carl Pohlad anymore.
Right.
No, I don't know. Target? I don't know.
No, they're just the field. Let's say Ziggy Wilf.
I don't know owners. I'm not good at
it. Yeah,
owners.
I'm not really. There are certain owners I know. I don't know why. I know. It's just, you know how you know stupid stuff?
Yes.
It's sort of like, what's his name in Cheers? It's sort of like the mailman. Why can't I think of his name?
Norm.
Norm. No, not Norm. Norm in...
not Norm?
No, Norm is the big fat
Cliff
guy.
Clavin.
Cliff Clavin, thank you. It's kind of like Cliff knew all this stupid
Chewing
random
used to always
trivia.
Call me Cliff Clavin.
He did. Okay. Yes. That you
want to hear what I call
you
him these days?
But I wonder what certain owners think. Like Ziggy Wolf, does he really think that Roger Goodell is good for his league and good for his business?
It's a fair question. My first
what
thing,
does he,
I remember
what does
the
he
first
well?
Time I dealt with Goodell is he did a fan thing with Patriots, like a select group of Patriots fans. They have that little auditorium at the Patriot Place, the hall of Patriot Place. And we were told that we could speak with the commissioner afterwards. And he stood out there. This is the first time he'd only been commissioner a short time. He's up there speaking to, like, you know that little theater, what's it all, like 200 people?
Yeah.
And he's speaking and he's answering questions, and I am your commissioner. You call me, and like, wow, what a fan-friendly, what a good guy. And as soon as he walked outside, there's like 10 or 12 of us, and we walk up to him, and some official from the NFL is there. All right, you can. And as soon as he walked off that stage, like, oh, what do you guys want? And every single question that was posed, there was a big, you know, stagey eye roll, and And I'm like, geez, what a jerk.
Let's go to Steve in Portsmouth. Steve, you're up next here on Sports Radio WEEI. As soon as I unlock him, there we go. There we go. Hi, Steve. How are you?
I'm doing all right. Good morning to you guys. I'm just going to need my due here. I've been on hold for an hour and 15 minutes for a Sunday morning show.
When Greg's on, the show gets very popular, so you have to
Steve,
wait.
Steve, thank you very much for holding.
I know, but I think probably, too, that maybe you saw my screen and you didn't like what I was going to happen.
Steve, there are a lot of people who have been holding for 40 minutes, 50 minutes, 60 minutes. So
Steve, I want you to know, I wanted you on 20 minutes ago, and Greg said let him wait.
He lives in New Hampshire. He lives in Cow Hampshire. Let him wait. Screw him.
We joke about it, but you know I'm not positive. But you know, I just want to say, and this is in the most respectful way possible, that you know, you guys, I think some responsibility for some of the stuff that you say, and realize that you know whatever you say, that your voice can reach so many people. All right, I'm the dad of two wonderful pit bulls, Brady and Delilah, and I love these dogs so much, and that's why I felt compelled to make this call. Like, so if you So I'm going to ask you guys a couple of questions right there. Are you familiar with the term rescue dog or like the slogan, a dog don't shop? Have you heard that before?
No, I don't, but Steve, do me a favor. Do me a favor, dogs.
Why don't you listen before you're already formulating?
But don't turn it into a quiz show. Make your point.
I am making my point. So prior to the brutalization of Vic's dog, now Vic Pitbull's being made public, all fight dogs and any type of dog that went through trauma like that was immediately euthanized. So, but because of all the massive media attention that happened, people decided, hey, we want to try to save these dogs. You know, so the first time in history we proved with evidence that bully breed, end quote, you know, dogs could be rehabilitated. And then it started. Now, dude, every neighborhood has a few rescue pits running around. And without Vic, that movement doesn't gain the same traction.
Oh, Steve, are you serious? Are you serious? Good. Is that your defense of Michael Vick?
Michael Vick got railroaded?
Hero among us.
That's letting you guys know about what's happened in the Pitbull movement.
Steve, why it happened.
So, let me do this one, Steve Buckley. Hold on. So, Steve, what are you saying about Michael Vick exactly?
So what I'm saying about Michael Vick is this dude has served 22 months in a federal prison, lost his job, paid $900,000 to help facilitate those dogs' rehabilitation.
As part of a plea agreement.
Society, received daily threats on his and his family. No, but he's continued to do so past his plea agreement. So never mind during the self-hatred that he probably put himself through when he finally got some education and perspective. Now, if he didn't advocate for certain policies, even we wouldn't have legislation for anti-dog violence, man.
Steve, it's great that Michael Vick got his second chance. It's great that he turned his life around. Please don't place him on the stage as a paragon of dog care and virtue and so forth.
If it wasn't from Michael Vick,
that's where he was going.
No, I know he was. And that's,
good Lord.
I would never own a pit bull. I'm
no, really, and this, I am, and this I, has got to be I'm careful. Sure. Be careful.
I know.
We will do now.
Pit bulls
we will do
and
now
Rottweilers.
Until
I'm sure there are plenty
Pitbull
of good ones out
guy.
There. Last time I checked, every time I see a story of a dog attacking a little girl or a little boy or an adult, it's never like a lab. It's never a labradoodle or a black lab or a golden retriever. It always seems to be one of two dogs.
I had a guy call me up once. You know, Petey and Little Rascals was a pit bull. You do know that, right? Remember back like 100 years ago, they had those little black and white shorts and the little kids.
I'm sorry, what show?
I think it was Little Rascals. And they had a dog.
I'm not familiar with that.
You
show.
Sure?
I was.
And you're playing
wasn't
tough
born
guy.
Back then.
my point is that I actually had a caller on the air say that Petey and the Little Rascals was a pit bull. Therefore, pit bulls are okay. No, that wasn't real life. That was basically a cartoon of little kids in a different time. So don't use Petey and Little Rascals as your rationale. Yeah, say pit bulls.
I'm sure pit bulls scare
the bejesus out of
me. I'm sure there are good pit bulls and
Rottweilers
out there.
When I got the labs
out
at night and I see a guy two blocks away with a pit bull,
oh, you're going the other
I'm
way.
Going left on Pearson Ave. I'm out of here.
I don't know. I feel like I can take my lab and I can jump on her and wrestle with her and shove her and play with her and do all that stuff. And you know what she's going to do to me, Buck? She's going to lick my face to death. She's not going to try and gnaw off my hand. Let's go to Fred in another Cow Hampshire caller. Fred, how are you? Hello, Fred. Fred, are you there? Let me do this. Let me put Fred on hold, and instead I'll go out to Springfield and say hi to Mike. Mike, you're up next here on WEEI. Hi, Mike.
Good morning, gentlemen. How are you?
Good morning.
Hey.
Wanted to discuss Roger Goodell, and I think somebody who would actually help the NFL as a replacement for Roger Goodell. Condoleezza Rice has been in the news. Name was thrown out as a potential
coach of the Browns.
Yes.
Coach of the Browns, but she has experience with football. She was in the administration at Stanford. I believe she actually sat on, was it the BCS committee? For a couple years in college, experience running large corporations, is a woman, very good public profile, could actually be of assistance to the NFL as a replacement.
I think Condoleezza Rice, I thought it was laughable bringing up Condoleezza Rice's name as a head coach in the National Football League.
If it's commissioner, if it's assistant commissioner, if it's team president, I'd be all for Condoleezza Rice.
Well, she's certainly qualified.
She's qualified, yes.
I mean,
would she do a great job? Who knows? I think she's certainly qualified for it, though.
But
I think certainly that's a position that is more, I think, a figurehead than somebody who is doing a lot of day-to-day business. I think you're probably more actively involved when it comes to negotiations of the contracts and the TV deals, but you're more of a public face of the league. I agree that it was laughable that she would be a coaching candidate because she has no experience in that field. But I think as somebody who is out there representing the league, is a woman, probably carries a little bit more cachet when it comes to these type of situations, Kareem Hunt, whatever, she could be a benefit, while I think Roger Goodell has turned into a detriment.
Appreciate the phone call, Mike.
By the
Thanks
way,
so much.
Condoleezza Rice, as an NFL commissioner, and you are 100% correct. How anybody could argue the point is laughable.
Right.
Is that Condoleezza Rice as a potential NFL coach is a laugh riot. Condoleezza Rice is National Football League commissioner. Whether you like her or not, whatever the politics, she's got the qualifications. There have been so many commissioners of these sports who have come out of the political ranks. Happy Chandler, the commissioner of baseball, was a senator from Kentucky, I think.
It was A.B. Happy Chandler Buck, so you get it right. A.B. Happy Chandler was his name.
A.B. Happy Chandler, and Larry O'Brien from your league was a White House operative.
From my league. Yeah, he was a lawyer. He was a White House lawyer.
Yeah.
Lawrence O'Brien,
and
sure.
Donna Shalali, she was
from the Clinton White House, right?
Yeah, she was A.D. at Miami, I want to say.
I think you're right. Yes, that does sound right.
So this is not uncommon. So it would not be in any way unprecedented. They come from all walks of life. I think Pete Rozelle was a PR guy.
Goodell was an office lackey for so many years. That's all he was.
Peter Uberoth ran the
84
Los Angeles
Olympics.
So they come from all different
walks of life. 617-779-7937. Back to your phone calls right after this break at Sports Radio WEEI.
Right back to Buck and Dickerson on Sports Radio WEEI.
Sports Radio. We'll roll on that, and we will play it back for you in a few minutes and then get a chance to react to it. 617-779-7937. Real quickly, Buck, before we go back into the phone calls, I don't know whether you know this or not, because it's kind of been lost today in the last couple days.
Nashville.
Yes, exactly.
You're asking me where James K. Polk is buried, right? The president.
I thought it was Memphis. It's Nashville.
I get
those two Tennessee cities mixed up all the time. No, there's a pretty important football game being played in Foxborough that you're going to.
Yes.
At 4:25 today,
and I can't wait to listen to Keith, Mutt, and Christian Fourier break that game down.
You'll listen to the whole thing?
I will listen.
Three-hour commute?
I will, because I'll be driving to Foxborough.
Right.
I have a three-hour commute from here.
It'll take you a half hour to get from here to Route 1 in Norwood, and then it'll be 3 hours from Norwood on Route 1 back to the stadium. You're not looking forward to the ride?
If I leave here at
Noon, you'll be fine.
Yeah.
Because the parking lot's open at 12 or 12:30.
Yeah, I'm not worried.
You'll be okay. Plus, you've probably got one of those fancy passes.
I do not.
That allows you to go the back road.
I do not have such a pass.
You don't have the access road?
I do not have the access road pass. I am a member of the media.
Fifth estate.
And we're lucky they even let us in. And not just the Patriots, but any place.
But a guy like you, I'm
been
sure.
You been to the press box at Gillette lately?
No, not in forever, no. Not in years. Why?
Well, I mean, you might as well be at the Guard Motel up on Route 1 watching
Why?
The game. Because it's very high.
It's the same place that it's always been, right?
Well, what I'm talking about vis-a-vis the old stadium where it was at the 50-yard line, and you could hear the players talking.
Best play, when I used to do PA for the Patriot games.
This is the Worcester Ice Cats?
No, this is the New England Patriots, okay?
you were the press box PA guy.
I was, but I was also the backup PA announcer, and I would do for about, I don't know, 15 years, I'd do like two games a year, and I'd get to sit, you know, the
50-yard line.
Right at the 50-yard line in that little box right there.
Gil Santos
was in the booth next door, now it's obviously Zoe. I mean, that was just the greatest place to watch a football game because you're right on the 45, 50-yard line. You're down low, but you're just high enough where you know, you're able to see everything develop. That's the best place to watch a football game in that entire state. I highly recommend to anybody who can be PA announcer for the New England Patriots to take that job just to watch a football game from that very spot. It's a great place. Today's football game, what are you expecting? What do you think?
Sell a crowd.
Okay. Yep. I agree with you.
No, I think the Patriots...
Good seats are not still available.
I think the Patriots win the game. I think the Patriots are on the uptick. I think they proved a lot of doubters wrong in the most recently played game. And I think that they are making their move. And for the, I don't know, 12th consecutive year, I'm going to be among the people who were wrong when I said back in week X, week three, week four. I wish I had the time to go back and dig up all the columns that we've all written, commentaries. Usually it's the deep threat. They can't stop another. And I've written these columns that the opposing quarterback is going to fire missiles into the air all afternoon because the Patriots do not have anyone that can stop these receivers. And then they find a way and they end up in the Super Bowl. And because there is no such thing as defense anymore, that's not as big an issue as it used to be. It's not a question of whether you have the best defense. Is does your defense suck a little less than everyone else's?
What concerns me...
Does that make sense?
Yeah, it makes sense. When I look at this game today, I look at pass rush. I look at getting pressure on the quarterback. The Minnesota, having watched the Vikings play four or five times this year and watching Kirk Cousins, when Kirk Cousins... Like any other quarterback, when he has time to throw, he's devastating, especially with the weapons that he has, like Thielen and Diggs if he's healthy and Kyle Rudolph. But his offensive line is terrible. And so many times this year, he has just been bombarded with pass rushers and pressures and hits and knockdowns. And I think to myself, do the Patriots have enough? Can they make up enough of a pass rush to get to rush and to get to rattle Kirk Cousins? I don't know if they do. I don't know if they do because pass rush has been such a sticking point for this football team defensively this year and even going back to last year as well.
No, I get you. And the other thing is Brady, on the other side of the ball is Brady himself, is that for all the pining and whining and caterwauling we've done over the years about what I just talked about, there's always been, well, at least they got Brady, and Brady's okay.
You sound like you're sold on this team, because I'm still not. Here we are, December 2nd. I'm still not sold on this team.
I'm not sold on this team beating the 03 Patriots.
I'm not talking about the 03. I'm talking about this team beating the Kansas City Chiefs
or
the Pittsburgh Steelers.
That's what I'm sold on.
You are. See, I'm not. Are you?
I'm not slam dunking it. I'm simply saying that if you line up all previous editions of the Patriots, this one does not measure up with any of those. And partly because of the way defense has changed the NFL, partly because, and this is a touchy subject, old number 12.
Buckley, don't say he's getting older. He's not.
Well,
Brady's never getting old.
At least
kid.
Now there is statistical evidence that he ain't what he was. And so that's something, that's the cautionary flag. Even though I say they're better equipped to win than I thought they were six weeks ago.
If they lose this game tonight, would you be surprised? Because I wouldn't.
They're not playing 85 Bears.
Right, I understand.
I wouldn't be
shocked. A good team. It's still a good team, the Minnesota Vikings.
I wouldn't be shocked if they lost by any stretch. I just happen to think that they'll win.
Let's go to John and a card.
They've been lucky, by the way. Someone else mentioned
Hold
this.
Hold on, John.
You may have mentioned this. That
if
they've
it was
been
a good
lucky,
point, then yes.
They've been lucky that a lot of their tough games are at home this year.
I didn't say that, but I'll take credit for it anyway. Right. Yeah, it sounds like a smart thing. Hi, John. How are you? Welcome to Buck and Dickerson on WEEI.
Hey, good guys. Two real quick points.
Sure.
Not to go down the rabbit hole, but as far as Michael Vick goes, there's plenty of U.S. attorneys that did not want him to go down on that dog fighting charge because they looked at it as this guy was a head of a RICO organization, Bad News Kennels, which was a front for drug dealing, gun running, violent assaults, loan sharking, gambling, and he should have done 20 or 30 years. So I guess the point I would make is that if Michael Vick can come back and get a second chance, and we see many of felons coming out of prison, that they can come back and get a second chance, that if you're an NFL fan, this is a gray area in some cases, and don't you have to look at it a little bit? Believe me, I'd love to be black and white and put in some kind of a rule, but don't you think you have to look at it on a case-by-case basis?
I do. Yeah, I do. But I also think, too, though, that if the NFL really wants to get rid of situations like a Kareem Hunt, like a Joe Mixon, even though I know that happened while he was still in college, or any other domestic violence situation, Greg Hardy, I think they need to be tougher with their penalties.
Hey, and that's fine. You know, that's fine. They can certainly get tougher with their penalties, and I think they do cover it up, and it is poorly run. To say a black and white rule, like a previous caller said, well, how would you like your 19-year-old daughter? Well, you know what? This happens every day in this country, and it is about some kind of redemption. And maybe you give them a second chance, and you monitor them closely. Would you have a problem with the Patriots taking Kareem Hunt?
Would I? And I said earlier, no. If you were a defensive back, a pass rusher, I wouldn't. That makes me a terrible person. I fully admit I'd be a terrible person. They don't need a running back, but if he were a pass rusher, I'd say, hey, they need a pass rusher. John, thanks for the phone call.
Guys.
Take
okay.
care.
Later.
Appreciate it. 617-779-7937. 617-779-7937. Final hour of Buck and Dickerson at noontime. It's NFL Sunday down in Foxborough from the Shed. It's Mike Matnansky, it's Rich Keefe, and it's Christian Fourier, all part of NFL Sunday. When we come back, you're going to hear from Kareem Hunt as he does an interview with Lisa Salters on ESPN. That's next, Sports Radio WEEI.